with this book. Study's been a blessing to my heart. You want to stick around to the end of the series of messages out of this book. We were looking to unpack some different topics out of it. Methods, modesty, and music. And one that we have not talked anything about yet is music. And we're getting down to the end of the chapter now, chapter number 6. So stick around, and we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to tell you some reasons I believe that you really don't find a whole lot, if any, about music in the pastoral epistles. We're going to talk about that as we get down to the end of this study. In the meantime, we've been looking at the inner life. Basically, chapters 1 through 5 sort of talked about that. And when I talk about the inner life, I'm talking about the inner individual Christian life and then the inner church life. And now we've gotten to chapter number 6 and really began to look at the outer life, our work life and professions and so on and so forth. And we've talked about that quite a bit. But really, when we go out into the world, I'm telling you, Brother Oscar hit the nail on the head tonight when he basically said the Christian life is a struggle. It's a struggle. And if you're doing it right, it'll be a struggle. If you're doing it right, it'll be a struggle. You say, how do you know that? Well, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said it was a struggle for himself. He said that the things he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he did. And he basically cried out and said, I'm a wretched man. Where am I going to find some help? Well, I'm thankful tonight we've got some help. And it is in the song that they just sang, Hide Me Behind the Cross. Really, I think that's where, and I think we've all figured out as we've walked the Christian life, that that's where our strength is, that's where our power is. It's in the cross, it's in the Lord, it's not in the flesh. Anytime we really begin to be confident in who we are or what we can do or what we can accomplish, it won't be long after we'll be falling flat on the ground. And I think the Bible says something about that as well. Pride goeth before destruction, and in a haughty spirit before a fall. And so we just have to figure that out. And we've all been in those stages of life, and probably the Christian life, where we thought, oh, I've arrived. I've figured out how this thing works. And it'll be smooth sailing from here on out. And the devil comes along and says, you ain't seen nothing yet. All right? So just keep on fighting, and the title of the message tonight is simply, Fight or Flight. Fight or Flight. Notice chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, picking up on the theme that he was basically talking about with young Timothy concerning the love of money and what you're to be like, the mindset that you're to have in this outer life. Verse number 11, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Boy, those sound pretty familiar. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight or flight. Let's pray together. Father, I pray you bless the study from your word tonight, just these couple of verses. And Lord, if we can put it this way, the formula for living the Christian life. I pray that we could see this, it would make sense to us from the youngest to the oldest, and we would just seek to be faithful to our Lord. You are worthy of everything that we have and more. And Lord, you reached down and took us out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and established our goings. Lord, you're worthy just for who you are, but you're doubly worthy because of the great salvation that you've provided to us. And so, Lord, I pray we would seek to serve you day in, day out, be faithful even unto death. I pray if there is somebody here tonight who doesn't know you as their Savior, they'll get it settled before the night is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Corrupted people and perceptions have been mentioned in chapter 6. And then there's a focus placed on the proper mind and man. We talked about corrupted people and perceptions. Chapter 6, verse number 2 speaks about those, they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And then also in verse number 5, that last portion that says there, from such withdraw thyself. So we've looked at these corrupted people and their perceptions, and then we've looked at the proper mind and the proper man. Notice this tonight in chapter number 6, verse number 11, what he says, what a title to prescribe upon a person, a man or woman of God. It is to say that God is the primary purpose and pursuit of that person. You ever heard the term before, a man of war? A man of war, as in a combatant warship of a recognized navy, leaves no doubt as to its purpose. Even though the design of these warships has radically evolved, the term remains in vogue, whether referring to an old battleship at full sail with heavily armed soldiers, and you can see pictures of these old ships with the multitude, the several sails that they have on the ship. And man, that thing looks like it's got business on its mind. It is called a man of war, filled with soldiers ready to fight. Even a naturally looking ocean creature with venomous tentacles that can reach 165 feet. This creature known as the man of war. And don't get mistaken, it's not just a jellyfish. It's its own entity. As a matter of fact, as I understand it, it's not just one entity, but multiple entities together. This magnificent creature called the man of war. Or the American thoroughbred. The racehorse voted as best of the 20th century in America with its wins in 20 of 21 races. So whether it's that thoroughbred that became known not just by the name that its owner gave it, but the way that it ran as a man of war, whether it's that creature known as the man of war, whether it's that old ship known as the man of war, the whole point is this: it is a fighting and winning vessel. A fighting and winning vessel. The man of God is fit for the master's use and made for godly victory. I'm talking about the man of God, the woman of God. And would to God someone might accuse us in 2021 of being simply people of God. Those folks over there at Open Door Baptist Church, they are people of God. My coworker, he's a man of God. My neighbor, she's a woman of God. What does that mean? Their primary purpose, their primary focus is the Lord God. Notice some scriptures with me tonight. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. There's a great outline that we're going to see here in just a moment, but we're laying the foundation. You've heard of this fight or flight syndrome, something that's been built into us naturally. And we're going to find out that God wants the man of God, the woman of God, the people of God to not be fight or flight, but to be fight and flight. Fight and flight. And we're going to do our best to show that to you, kind of what it looks like to me in the spiritual realm here in just a moment. But notice Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse number 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. God is talking about his people, the people of Israel, but we know that in this New Testament age, this age of grace, we have not replaced the people of God as in the people of Israel, but we have been given a special slot. We have been grafted into that olive branch. We are that wild olive branch, and the Lord has adopted us into his family, and we are made people of God, special above all people of all the earth. Not because we're special, not because there's anything good in us, but the Lord is in us and he is good. And it makes us special people. Deuteronomy chapter 27, go over there for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse number 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Would to God that people would say, those are people of God. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 9. 2 Kings chapter number 9. I'm talking about the people of God. Has anybody ever confused you or confused me for a man of God, a woman of God, a person of God? 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 6. He arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over, notice, the people of the Lord, even over Israel. So time and time again, God calls these people the people of the Lord, the people of God. Look at Psalm chapter number 47. We ought to be known and we ought to be addressed as Timothy was addressed, as a man of God, a woman of God, people of God. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to both fight and flight. We'll see that here in just a moment. Psalm chapter number 47, verse number 9. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Notice that. Even the people of the God of Abraham. Go to Hebrews chapter number 4. We'll look at a couple verses in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Notice verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Listen to me tonight, Christian friend. You say, I'm struggling in my Christian life. That's normal. That's natural. Now there is a rest coming to the people of God, but it's not right now. It's not time to quit right now. Regardless of whether these are individual circumstances and storms and situations that are coming into your life, or whether it's just sort of a general amount of circumstances, the things that are going on in our world and in our society, and it seems like there's battles on every front. Hey, it's not time to rest right now. It's time to fight. Hebrews chapter number 11, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let's just decide that we're going to get with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to stay with them, and we're going to continue to be shoulder to shoulder as we fight together, as we encourage one another together, as we exhort one another together. That's what we're doing tonight. On a Sunday night, you notice the Sunday morning crowd. It probably was almost double this morning, and praise the Lord for it. But on a Sunday night, we're looking for some soldiers that have said, we are committed to fighting with our fellow soldiers, our fellow believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10. 1 Peter 2:10. Of course, verse number 9 tells about us being unique, made unique by the Lord. But in verse number 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We have never been a part of a group like this group, the people of God. Before we were saved, we really were all by ourselves. We really were just a bunch of individuals going our own way. And when we get born again, we become a part of this group, the people of God. The Bible says, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now hear me tonight. There is a spiritual mechanism. This is a spiritual mechanism within the child of God that screams, flight and fight. Flight and fight. All right, what exactly does that mean? Let's see it again in the scriptures. Go back, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's try to show you what this looks like, spiritually speaking, in the Christian life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. These things. What things is he referring to? I believe it is the things that he's just discussed in this last chapter. The sorrows, the destruction and perdition, the hurtful and foolish lust, temptations and snares, perverse disputings, envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, blasphemies. Wait a minute, these sound kind of familiar as well. Where did we just hear about these and see these? Well, you that put to memory Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 19 through 23, these sound very, very familiar. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are the things that we ought to be fleeing in our Christian life. Now we're going to give an illustration of this in just a moment and how this looks. But I want you to notice there have been some people of God who have made flight from these types of things before, and they show us that it's possible for us to do it as well. Look, hold your finger there. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter number 39. This is a wonderful account of a person of God who got to stepping. Got to stepping. There's times that we just got to get to stepping. Get away. Flee. Get away. Genesis chapter number 39. Verse number 11. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. Nothing wrong with what Joseph was doing. By the way, I've heard people put emphasis on this last part of this verse, and there was none of the men of the house there within, as if Joseph did something wrong by being in the house and there was nobody else around. I don't see any fault with what Joseph was doing. Joseph was simply going about his business as usual. I don't believe there was any issue with what Joseph was doing. That's not to say we shouldn't be aware of our surroundings and we shouldn't make sure that we're not alone with the opposite sex and we can help it and those sorts of things. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't see any fault in what Joseph was doing. Joseph was simply focused on his task, on his business. The Bible says in verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. We understand she was not asking Joseph to go take a nap with her. She had something more sinister in mind, more evil, more wicked in mind. Lie with me. And the Bible says, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He got to Stephen so quickly and so voraciously that a piece of his clothes was left behind. Joseph fled. And what is Paul saying to this young man, Timothy? He's saying there are some things in the Christian life that you, like Joseph, will have to learn to flee. Get away as quickly as you can. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22. Flee also youthful lusts. There are some lusts that are more apt to us in our youth. Now, that is not to say that as we get older, that those lusts are not still very, very serious. But you know, youth, it's a time where the hormones are doing crazy things, and it's a time where peer pressure seems to be extremely heavy with other youths that have a bunch of hormones doing a bunch of crazy things and things of that nature. So he says, flee youthful lust, but that doesn't mean they only attack the youth. Well, they attack us as we go throughout our lives. And it's important we see illustrations of this in the Word of God. Older people of God, older believers of God who went astray from the path, from the way of God. Flee youthful lust. Flee all these things that come along with this corrupted mindset. Flee those things. Flee those type of people. Psalm chapter number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I mentioned this morning the American Idol of Spielberg. Wouldn't it be good if we didn't walk in that way, stand in that in that way, sit in that seat of these that are scornful and these that are against the ways of God? Psalm chapter number 1, when we affix ourselves to a television screen or a phone or a computer or a tablet and we watch things that we know are against God, boy, we're spending time with the wrong influences, aren't we? God says, flee those things. Escape safely. You're in danger. It's the same as that fight or flight syndrome. I was talking to Brother Weaver, and you know, he goes out to the farm to work cattle and gets some goodies out of that. He even shares some of those goodies every once in a while. Praise the Lord for that. But he was talking about a large animal, a large cow, coming his way, 1,400 pounds. And apparently she didn't like what it is that he was doing to her because she started to make a beeline for him. And he said that the man, I guess, that owns the farm, whatever, out there, told him, boy, that was pretty good. What was pretty good? He said he saw Brother Weaver take one step onto that gate, and before he knew it, he was over the gate. That was a fight or flight syndrome. And I guess Brother Weaver decided within just a millisecond, it's not going to do any good to try to fight this thousands-pound animal, and so I'm going to have to flight. And before he knew it, before the man knew it, he was up on the gate and over it. Escape safely. Shun these things. Shun these type of people. I'm not talking about being rude, but I'm saying you notice an influence that's wrong. You notice an influence that's of that corrupted mindset, company that's of that corrupted mindset, shun it. Shun them. Measure the amount of time spent with that influence. Flee. He then says this, follow. Follow. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We see that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, which we've been working through in our Sunday school time. The more we follow, the less we have to worry with fleeing. Let me say that again. The more we follow, the less we have to worry with fleeing. the more we are trained on the fruit of the Spirit and the things of God and the people of God and the assembly of God and the work of God, the more we follow those things, the less we have to worry with fleeing. Unfollow. We know a little bit about unfollow in this social media generation, right? Well, I unfollowed them. They unfollowed me. You know, you're scrolling through and all of a sudden you notice, wait a minute, friend request. Friend recommendation. I thought we were friends. I guess not. I've not only been unfollowed, I've been unfriended. And I know you've experienced the same thing. Well, how about unfollowing the fleshly carnal and following the spiritual? Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we looked at it this morning. Think about those things that are pure and lovely and true and just and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Proverbs chapter number 4 for just a moment. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 14 and 15. Follow, follow. Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. This word follow is an interesting word. It means to pursue or to persecute. This is interesting to me. Notice what he says again. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Think about it. Persecute. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, meekness, all these types of things. Harass, annoy, pester, these things. That's the word that we're looking at tonight. You remember as a young person, and maybe some of you young people have actually experienced this. We've got some younger boys and girls here tonight. And you've been in situations, maybe at church, maybe at school or whatever, where there's that little boy or that little girl that seems to constantly harass you. And they want to pick on you, and they want to touch you and run away and do these different types of things. And at some point, maybe your parents begin to say to you, well, maybe they actually like you, and they don't mean to actually be mean, but because they like you, they're messing with you. And oftentimes, that's what happens with little kids, because they don't really know how to smoothly go about flirting. They will flirt in this manner of harassing and annoying and pestering, the opposite sex. Well, God is telling us that we need to learn to persecute, to harass, to annoy, to pester, to flirt with the good. To constantly annoy and harass and pester the good. To constantly be about touching it and trying to mess with it. Constantly be on it. Constantly follow, follow, follow those things. And the more we follow, the less we have to worry with fleeing. But then he says fight. Verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy 4:7. Apostle Paul goes on to say, I have fought a good fight. We need to involve ourselves in a good fight. There's a good profession. He says, thou hast professed a good profession. And this profession, pro, before, or at the forefront, this is that type of thing where we learn without any anybody accosting us or persecuting us, but we learn to make a good profession of our faith. In other words, we learn to start to tell people about our Lord and to have the testimony for our Lord before we're ever persecuted. That's a good profession. But he also speaks about a good confession. Notice there in verse number 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. So here's the difference between profession and good confession. Profession, I'm not being accosted, I'm not being persecuted, things are going pretty good. By the way, I've mentioned this before, we've got to learn to make good habits in good times because the bad times are coming. And if those habits are not established in good times, then when the bad times come, there's no way we're going to keep those good habits. So when it's time to make a good confession, and Pontius Pilate is standing there and saying, well, they've accused you of wrong, what say you? It'll be time to make a good confession for the Lord. So a good fight, a good profession, a good confession. Look at a couple of passages of Scripture with me, and then we're going to try to illustrate this, and we'll be done tonight. Look at Matthew chapter 10 for a moment, please. Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. We're talking about flight and fight. Flee those things, follow after these things, and then fight the good fight of faith. Matthew chapter 10, notice verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Get the picture in your mind. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. How is it going to be given you in that same hour? You learned the things that you needed to learn, whether those were things spoken or whether those were habits of life. You learned those in the good times, in the calm times, in the peaceful times. And when those times come, when it's time to really fight, to really take a stand, God says you don't even have to think about what you're going to do. It'll be given you in that same hour what to say. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you, the fruit of the Spirit. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Are we ready for that time? And the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear not them, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now notice, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We want the Lord to speak up for us, to speak up for us when it's time for judgment, even the judgment seat of Christ, then we need to be trained on making that good confession when it's time to fight. All right, let's illustrate it like this. Titus, let me borrow you. Mark Andrew, let me borrow you. Come on up, guys. This is the Christian life in a very rude illustration, right? Now, I'm going to be the devil and the world and all the evil, right? I need somebody to play a believer. Who's going to be a believer? All right, Titus, you'll be a believer. You stand right about here. Mark Andrew, you're going to be the Lord and the Word, all the great stuff that God has for us. Okay? I want you to stand like this. All right? Now, this is the Christian life in a nutshell. Here's our Christian. Here's Satan, the world, all of the enemies of God. What is God telling us that we need to do? Flee, follow, and fight. All right, so this is how this looks. Jesus, you get to leading along the way, the Word. Go ahead, Mark Andrew, you start walking around the auditorium. Christian, you need to be following. Follow Jesus, follow the Word. Here's Satan on the Christian's tail. You better get close. You better follow Jesus. Now, Satan's not going to be telling you that. But here's what Satan and the world are going to be doing. Uh-oh, here we go. Now the fight is on, isn't it? He fights me off, and here he is trying to get close again. Here's Satan and the world again. You better get close to Jesus. There you go. There you go. Satan starts messing with me. Now Jesus gets in the fight. Now Satan can't fight Jesus very long. Go ahead. Go ahead. And here we go again. Here we go again. The fight is over. He's fleeing. He's fleeing the world, Satan, the wrong influences. He's following the Lord Jesus Christ. But he think not that Satan is done with him, that the world is done. Satan's pretty fast, and the world is pretty fast. And he's on his way again, and he's got to fight again. How do we fight? We humble ourselves, and we follow the Lord. This is the Christian life. Round and round and round. That's the Christian life. And if you decide somewhere along the way, I'm done fleeing, I'm done fighting, you'll be devoured, you'll have a bad testimony for the Lord. And the Lord, obviously, he's a good father. He's going to come help you and tend to you and all of that. But I'm saying, he's given us a program for how to be a good soldier. He's told us how to stay in the way. Flee those things. Stay close to the Lord. Fight when you have to, and you will have to. Fight. And then keep on following and keep it on fleeing. Thank you, guys, tonight. Just an illustration, really. That is really what the Christian life is all about. The entirety of the Christian life. And I like what he says. He says, lay hold on eternal life. Salvation gets us when we believe on Jesus, but it seems like many never get it. Many never seem to get it. Salvation's got them. God saved them. God's given them a home in heaven, but they never really get it, what it means to be saved, what it means to be in the fight. And when you're a true believer, you'll know what it means to be in the fight. Because you're going to have to fight the flesh. You're going to have to fight the world. You're going to have to fight Satan. You're going to have to keep on fighting. You're going to have to keep on fleeing. You're going to have to keep on following. And it is a constant thing. But this is the formula. This is the formula. And it's not fight or flight. It's flight and fight. And so he says, O man of God, don't be of this corrupted mindset. These type of folks that are about themselves and about what they can get in this outside world, and all these terrible things come along their way. Don't be like that. But you flee these things. You follow this fruit that only God can bring into a life, and you stay close to the Lord, stay close to His Word. And then you fight the good fight. You make a good profession. And ultimately, you'll make a good confession as well. Let's bow our heads together and close our eyes tonight.